It is 10 o'clock. I think we will begin.
Okay, I'll just mute everybody and then I'll unmute
Thank you. Oh, more people coming in. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of morning worship this morning. It's lovely to see you all. Before we begin, for those of you who didn't hear Fred's notice when he arrived, if you haven't yet picked up a Christian Aid envelope and you would like one, there are some available in the post office in Mattershall, so please do go and get one from there if you need one. I haven't got any more notices, so we will just take a moment's quiet to remember why we have come together. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this new day. We ask your blessing upon us now as we meet together in your name. We pray for all those who are unable to be with us, and for those who are worshipping in buildings this morning at Wellbourne and in Mattershall. Lord, may we be united by your Spirit as we worship you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We begin with a song of great praise to God. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you.
It is good to praise God for the great things he has done. And in praising God, it often leads us to prayer. And so before we continue in our service, I just want to make you aware this morning that the chat in the service is open, and Jackie will be leading our prayers later on. And she would like you, if you have any prayer requests, to put them in the chat so that we can include them in our prayers later. They can be prayers for anything at all. So please do use that during the service if anything comes to your mind. We continue as we praise God. We praise God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope.
He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us as his own.
He has brought us out of darkness.
He has made us light to the world.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We give thanks to God that he is risen. Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. For we know your truth and grace are mine, forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry, don't let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Yeah. Oh. what can I say?
Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. And Lord, we know that we often fall short of the glory of God, and we come to you now in confession. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us and help us.
We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and unbelieving. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us and help us.
We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us and help us.
May the God of love forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And a prayer for this Sunday in Easter. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And Marian will now bring us our reading from John's Gospel.
Our reading today is from John 17, verses 6 to 19. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us from your word today. May my words be your words. Amen. So today we're looking at this reading in John's Gospel. And for the context, it is just before Jesus and the disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We've had the Last Supper. And Judas has left to fetch the soldiers, to betray Jesus. Jesus had predicted Peter's denial, and he's made it clear to the disciples that he's going away. And then he prays for himself. And in our passage, he turns to pray for his disciples. Those of you who have children, have you ever left them with someone else? For our 10th wedding anniversary, Rod's mum paid for us to spend a night at a posh hotel near her home. And Andrew and Sean stayed with her while we were away. Andrew was almost 6 and Sean was just 3. And it was the first time that we'd left them with their grandmother. And indeed, it was the first time that we'd left them at all. Overnight. But we happily left them, knowing they would be well cared for, because we trusted Rod's mum. Although Sean will tell you to this day that she was forced to eat vegetable fingers, a vegetarian equivalent of fish fingers, and not to her liking at all. And when we returned from our night away, the children were fine, apart from Sean being appalled by the aforementioned cuisine, which had to be consumed in order to have pudding. And added to her disgust was the fact that Andrew, who had refused to eat the vegetable fingers, still got the sticky toffee pudding. Would you have left your children with complete strangers? Or left them to fend for themselves while you went away? Tom Wright tells of a story where a mother did just that. She left 2 young children alone while she was on holiday with her new boyfriend. And the children's father seemed to be nowhere to be found. And Tom Wright says that if the woman had had her own parents to look after the children, he could see that she would have left clear instructions on how to look after them. Not because she didn't trust her parents, but because she did. Now, I can't remember if I left any instructions to Cynthia, but I probably did. As Rod will tell you, I leave instructions when the pets are left in his care. But of course, that could just say more about his memory than his ability to care for them. What Jesus prays in our passage comes from the fact he is going away, and he is entrusting the disciples to his heavenly Father, whom he has known and loved throughout his earthly life, and of course before then. It is the Father he knows who will care for the disciples as much as he does. But he knows that the disciples are at risk. The world which hated him hates them too, and will threaten and abuse them. They don't belong to the world, but they are being sent out into it and they need to be protected. So Jesus is praying a prayer of protection on them. Jesus starts by describing who his followers are. They are the ones that the Father has given him
They already belong to Jesus, and he is handing them back to his Father for safekeeping. They are still in the world, but they do not belong to it. Through responding to Jesus' call and teaching, they are new, cleansed people. They are in the world, but they do not belong to it. This can be puzzling. After all, they all have physical bodies, which will one day die and decay. They have homes and families. But in the gospel, the world does not just mean our physical universe. It means the world insofar as much as it has rebelled against God. The world which has chosen darkness rather than light. The world which has chosen not to follow Jesus. If we perceive the being of the world in this way, we can see that Jesus is not of it, and neither are the disciples. So Jesus is praying because the disciples need to be kept from being pulled back into the world with all its wickedness and rebellion. Jesus says he has looked after them during his ministry. He's been like a shepherd tending his sheep. But now Jesus is going to the Father, so he's entrusting them to God the Father to keep them safe. He's not asking the Father to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Jesus talks about the disciples being sanctified through Jesus being sanctified. The words to be sanctified means to be set apart, and setting apart means the same as holy. When we talk about people being holy, we often mean a sense of overly pious religiosity, but that's not what Jesus meant. He means that they are set apart. As you will recall, in the first century Judaism, the term holiness is often applied to the temple, and that was the holy place where God had promised to dwell. And in the temple was the Holy of Holies, where the high priest once a year would enter to make an atonement for the people. It was so holy, so full of God's presence, that the priest would have a rope tied around his waist in case he was struck down dead and the others had to retrieve his body. The high priest had to go through a number of ceremonies in order to be consecrated or set apart so that he could enter the presence of the holy God and pray for his people. In the same way, Jesus is declaring that he has always been sanctified, always been holy, or set apart, and therefore consecrated to do God's work. Now, like the high priest, Jesus is praying to his Father for the disciples to be kept safe from the devil and evil in the world and to be truly holy. Jesus has already kept them safe in the name of the Father, we see in verse 12, and he has given them God's word in verse 14. In other words, when Jesus entrusts the disciples to the care of the Father, he's not handing them over to a stranger, like a mother handing her children over to the care of someone she doesn't know and whose house rules might be very different. He's handing them over to somebody that he knows. And the disciples already know the Father through Jesus' teaching. Now, I may not have fed Sian fish vegetable fingers, but I trusted my mother-in-law that her ways of looking after children were like mine, and my children would be safe from harm. Is there a lesson for us today? I think there are two aspects. Firstly, we need to stop ourselves being pulled back into the world. And secondly, do we allow our lives to be entrusted fully to God? How can we stop ourselves today from being pulled back into the world? Indeed, are there ways in which we can get pulled back? Ways in which the evil one traps or ensnares us? Things we need to avoid, such as, does he nudge us to join in with gossip? or to listen to unsavoury comments, or to watch television programmes which contain material or portray lives of people which are contrary to what Jesus expects of us, where there is malice, violence, sexual immorality, lies. We read in Ezekiel that God wants to replace our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. Do we allow our hearts to become hardened? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in our lives? Do we allow ourselves to turn away from God as the people of Israel had done and that Ezekiel was prophesying about? God's holy people had allowed their worship to become defiled and his holy people had become unclean. Jesus wanted his disciples to remain holy. He wants us to remain holy. Is there anything we need to change in our attitudes or our behaviour? And what about not entrusting our lives totally to God? What holds us back? Perhaps our security is found in our material wealth. Perhaps when sickness, unemployment, or bereavement strike, we begin to doubt that God is truly looking after us. Maybe fear or anxiety grip us and we feel our trust slipping away. This past 14 months or so have produced a lot of fear and anxiety. And I'm sure there are many who have wondered where God has been in all of this. We need to remember, if we have put our faith in Jesus and entrusted our lives to him and our Heavenly Father, we are not immune to suffering. Indeed, we are told to expect it. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, suffering for Christ is to be expected and is actually a blessing. Do we see it as a blessing, or do we see it as God abandoning us, or at least turning his face away from us? Maybe we just don't like to let go of our control. Entrusting our lives fully to God may mean he expects us to do things or follow a path we are not sure we can take. I recall Paula telling us in her testimony a few months ago, God asking her to trust him when their roof collapsed. And then they went through a number of other difficult circumstances. And even now, as Paula and Derek work as missionaries, the way ahead and the means to get there is not always clear. Yet they have continued to entrust their lives to God and their needs have been met. We don't know what our calling might be or what lies ahead as we trust God. The disciples didn't know, and yet they trusted. Today we can take comfort that Jesus has ascended into heaven and is interceding to the Father on our behalf. And we are entrusted into the care of the Father, our Heavenly Father, who will protect us from the evil one. We are in this world, but we are not of it if we confess our faith in Jesus. To finish, I would like to read part of the prayer of Jesus again, inserting Jesus for I and they and them for I and me. I think it will make sense when I say it. And I pray that this will be for encouragement today. Jesus said these things while he was still in the world, so that I may have the full measure of his joy within me. Jesus has given me God's word, and the world has hated me, for I am not of this world any more than Jesus is of this world. Jesus' prayer is not that God takes me out of the world, but that he protects me from the evil one. I am not of the world, even as Jesus is of it. Sanctify me by the truth. God's word is truth. As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent me into the world. For me, Jesus sanctified himself so that I too may be truly sanctified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we know the full measure of your joy. May we take thanks that you protect us from the evil one and we are sanctified by you. And may our lives always reflect that. Amen.
In response to what Mel's just said, we're going to sing, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." We sing this as a prayer. Faith together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
before we sing again, thank you to those of you who have put prayer requests in the chat. We are going to sing, share the peace, and then we will be coming to prayer. So if you do have any prayers that you would like Jackie to pray for you this morning, if you have any response to Mel's preaching, or if there is anything else, please do put those in the chat. So as we come before the peace, we sing.
A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart.
So we come to sharing the peace together. In a moment, you might want to go into gallery view so that we can all share the peace together. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. If you love me, rejoice because I am going to the Father. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hallelujah.
For one another, a sign of that peace.
Peace be with you.
Let us pray. Lord, in the life of the church, we are between Ascension and Pentecost. And during that time, you have instigated thy kingdom come. Lord, thy kingdom come. You have asked us to pray, all of us, so that we deepen our relationship with you. So that over the next few days, we really look to you, Lord, as to how we may do that in prayer, in word and deed. Lord, come to us. Let us listen, hear your voice as to how we can deepen our relationship with you. And Lord, also in thy kingdom come, we all have people, friends and family who we know that don't know you. Lord, in this moment of quiet, we lift up at least, shall we say, 5 members of our family and friends who don't know you, who we would love to come to know you, Lord. So we just think of those people. And let us continue to have those names on our hearts at all times. And Lord, open our voices and our thoughts. Give us the words to speak with these people, to tell them of your love for them. And we also pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon each one of us. Give us those words. Open our hearts and speak of you, Lord, and speak of you often. We be effective in our witness for you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Prayer. Hear our prayer.
And Lord, as we look to the wider world, we think about those abroad. And really, we think about the pandemic in India. Lord, we ask, we know you're there, Lord, but we ask that the country looks to you. It's a big ask, Lord, but we know you can do it. We think of other parts of the world that we don't actually hear about. You know, when the maps come up on the world, Africa is... We know nothing about that, Lord. We know nothing about how the pandemic is affecting that continent, but we can only guess. Lord, let us have compassion and not sit comfortably in our bubble of an island where we have the protection of the vaccines. Lord, help us to be generous and look outward. And Lord, we also lift up to you all those things that have dropped off the radar in the news, you know, the man-made disasters and the natural disasters. Those schoolgirls in Nigeria who've been abducted. And we also pray for those things we do see on the news, such as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, Lord. Lord, Lord, we weep for them. We weep for them. We pray for those out in the mission field, especially Paula and Derek. We ask that they are guarded and guided by you, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We have so much to thank you, Lord, for. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion, your peace, your patience, your grace. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for putting us in your family of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can live our lives in all our fullness, its fullness, because you saved us, Lord. Lord, let us live for you. Lord, let us glorify you in our lives, in our church, and in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for so much. Thank you for revealing your word to us, and may that continue. May that continue forever, Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we have been asked by you to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. A moment of quiet as we bring to mind those who are mourning and those who are rejoicing. Give thanks to the Lord for them. And Lord, we do pray so mightily to you. All those people brought to mind, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we have specific prayers that we want to lift to you, Lord. We give you thanks to Erland. We thank you for his operation, and we pray for his continued healing, Lord. And thank you that we have the privilege of praying for him and his family. Lord, we lift up to you Annette, our dear Annette, in hospital after a heart attack. Lord, we know she is looking to you now. We know that she is comforted by you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask for permanent work for Jason. Dear Lord God, you know the situation there. And we know that you can change it. We know you have a plan for Jason's life, Lord. We ask for patience until that plan is revealed. We lift him to you, Lord, and his family. Lord, we lift up Richard, your precious son, Richard. We ask for miraculous healing. Again, Lord, you know Richard intimately better than anyone else. Lord, we know that he is lying in the palm of your hand, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you bless him and heal him and his family. Lord, we lift up to you Dementia Action Week and the campaign to cure the care system. Lord, we thank you so much for these. And we lift them up to you to bless them and to really be with those who are suffering from this cruel disease. And we lift up to you those who are behind the campaigns and who work in those sectors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, thank you that you walk with us. You love us. You protect us. You guide us. And Lord, as we are about to Pray soon, keep us from temptation. Let us always look to you. Lord, let us understand that we are set apart in this world. We are your light, your feet, your hands, and your heart, Lord. Let us share that. Let us live for you, Lord. Let us look to you, Lord, and let us live for you, Lord. Lord, be glorified in our lives, in our church, and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. Thank you that we know with absolute confidence that you are hearing us now, both in the spoken word and what's on our hearts and in our heads. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you keep us and all our families within your love. And once again, Lord, we ask that our relationship with you is deepened. That we do see those five family members or friends come to you, and that we do open our mouths and we let forth words of comfort and rejoicing to those who want to hear it. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us, each one of us, Lord, if we seek you and look to you in all we do. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we say together the Lord's Prayer in whatever version you wish. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we come to the end of our service before our final prayers, may we be disciples entrusting our lives to God this week. As we go out into the world, may our prayers feed into our actions to praise God, and our praise back to prayer. Because we know that yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.
Christ, our ascended King, pour upon us the abundance of his gifts and bring us to reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always.
Amen.
Amen. Our final hymn, and I want to encourage you to sing this at the top of your voice. Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
I do hope that you will be able to stay on for a coffee and a catch up, and we'll see you all in 5 minutes.